Hello, this is Rabbi David Rosenbaum of Young Israel Shomrei Emunah in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you for joining us for our 13th installment on Laws of Shemitah. What might be the most relevant aspect for us in the diaspora of the entire year in terms of how to deal with Shemitah products is the Esrog on Sukkos. The vast majority of us, the Esrogim that we use come from Israel. They don't have to come from Israel. They could come from other places in the world, but many of us, the Esrogim, come from Israel, and I think we'd all agree that's a beautiful, beautiful thing, A, to have that item from Israel, and certainly for as special a mitzvah as the Esrog on Sukkos, to use something from Israel is beautiful. What happens when it's a Shemitah Esrog? I want to be very clear, this is not connected to the holiday of Sukkos that just passed us in the year 5775. Those Esrogim were not Shemitah Esrogim. What it is very likkely relevant for is Sukkos 5776, almost the year from now when this is being recorded. So if it's a Shemitah Esrog, there are a number of questions that come up. The first question is it problematic in the first place to take it out of Israel into the diaspora? Maybe that's part of the sanctity of Shemitah. There are different opinions about this, as we've referred to a few times in the series. It could be that if it's for the sake of fulfilling a mitzvah, those who would normally be strict are more lenient to allow the mitzvah item to leave Israel so that a mitzvah can be performed within in the diaspora. But probably the most common approach for us in the diaspora is to use esrogim that our oats are based in. Again, this was the society that would not be selling the esrogim per se, but that would acquire a number of types of produce, esrogim included, and people would just pay for the expenses associated with the esrog, but not officially buying the esrog. There's a school of thought which says that the core problem with taking Shemitah produce outside of Israel is for the issue of biur, that when the time comes that the Shemitah produce has to be rendered ownerless, once it's left Israel, it's hard to do it appropriately. There are complications with it. So if you go with this opinion, if it's oats are based in, as we already mentioned, oats are based in, the whole idea is that it was ownerless when the time for beer came along. So if it's an oats are based in esrog, it would be okay, because the point is that you don't have to, the halachas of beer don't apply because it was Zotzer Bezdin at the time that beer applied. And if that's the case, then it would be all right to transfer it from the Holy Land to the diaspora. Along these lines, there's a separate question. So I have this esrog. What am I supposed to do with it once I'm finished? There are those who argue that one needs to send the esrog back to Israel. And there are people who do that. There are those who say, as we said before, that once its oats are based in, you're exempt from doing that. And all you really have to do is just be diligent to not throw out the esrog. In a regular year, we say you shouldn't place the esrog directly in a disrespectful situation. Let's say we're even more particular about it when it's esrog of Shemitah. If I remember correctly, the last time in our shul in Young Israel Shomrei Emunah that Shemitah year came, we had a collection. If people wanted to bring their esrogim back, we had a collection just so that people wouldn't have to worry about accidentally throwing them out. And we held them until they dried up and it was really just pits. Once it's pits, there's nothing edible there. An esrog is edible. Once it's pits, there's nothing edible. And then you could throw it out, hopefully still respectfully. But it wasn't nearly as much of an issue. So normally we use oats are based on esrogim, and many are lenient about those being transferred outside of Israel. And then there's also a question about sending them back after use, but at least in our community, we normally have been lenient about that and just made sure to not throw the esrogim out while they're still fit for consumption. Last question, what about using Shemitah oil for mitzvah candles? Now, we discussed this in passing earlier in the series, that the benefit that one gets from Shemitah oil is hanaso biura shaveh. The benefit comes at the same point as the consumption. As the Shemitah is being used up, as the oil is being used up, the candle is burning, I'm benefiting. So that would be wonderful for Shabbos candles and Yom Tov candles. But there's one type of mitzvah candle that I'm not allowed to benefit from. That's Hanukkah. So the halacha would be, it would be inappropriate and prohibited to use Shemitah oil to light Hanukkah candles because I'm not allowed to be benefiting from the burning of those Hanukkah candles. I could use Shemitah oil to light my shamish of my Hanukkah candles because I'm allowed to benefit from that, but not the candles in general. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a wonderful day.